Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special podcast that we are putting together here in Inside the Ropes, because David McCutcheon, sadly was in hospital. It wasn't because he had his head up Robert's arse this week, which is usually his ailment, but it was flu-like symptoms. But he is doing okay. He's in Chicago this weekend for a friend's birthday, but he is not able to record as he's not seen Monday Night Raw. Now, Sondra, who is with me, she has seen some of Monday Night Raw, as have I, but what we thought would be fun, since neither of us really want to talk about it and we haven't seen the full thing, is we thought we'd do a rushed Raw rundown, where I'm going to put 15 minutes on a clock, and for those 15 minutes, we are going to rush through Monday Night Raw. Sondra, how do you feel about it?
I feel okay about it. Honestly, I don't even know if I have 15 minutes worth of stuff to say about Raw, but we'll see how it goes.
I'm so glad I'm on
SmackDown.
Who would have thought in July that was what you'd be saying?
I know. Things have worked in my favor for once. This is kind of great, actually.
I remember the phone call where Sondra was, where I had to try and talk Sondra down off a ledge about being on SmackDown. Now, happy as a pig in shit.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to put 15 minutes on the clock and we are going to try and get through this show. It wasn't terrible, it just wasn't great. So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, get your 15 minutes ready now. So this week's Raw was from Cincinnati, Ohio, home of Mr. Ambrose, but he was on another show, so that doesn't matter. How did you feel about Rusev getting a jobber entrance? I was not happy about this fact.
He should not get a jobber entrance. Like, I realize he's not the champion, even though I kind of keep forgetting that he's not the champion anymore. But he should absolutely get an entrance. Doesn't have to be on a tank all the time. I mean, that'd be glorious. But he should at least get an entrance. It seemed like they were rushing everything because they knew nobody was going to be watching, like, hours 2 and 3 of the show. So they were like, nope, gotta get to the match. It was really strange to see Raw open with a match. It was the first time in like 2 months or something, I think.
It was. What I found interesting about it was that we had Roman Reigns and Rusev wrestling, and it was a decent match, but it went 25 minutes and it ended in a double countout.
It was very long.
Like, I aged during this match.
We all did.
Exactly. See what I did there? Meta. Okay, so I guess they're continuing their feud. I said this to Robert on the Clash review. Like, to me, Roman Reigns is not in the right role, and that's the problem. And Rusev is in the right role, so it's an issue. Didn't really do much for me. Mick Foley decided to show clips of the seventh match of the Best of Seven series with Cesaro and Sheamus, and basically he's putting them in a tag team. Thoughts?
I actually like it. I do. I think it's kind
of
good.
Of all the things you could say to me, just because you want Shamero to get somewhere.
Well, I mean, I understand that it makes the Best of Seven kind of be like, why did we bother with this? And I don't think they're going about it the right way. Like, I don't think they're telling the story all that well.
You mean they did a Best of Seven series, which could have ended with something meaning something and a stake, and instead it meant nothing?
I think if they tell the story that now they're sort of like they've gone through war together and that, you know, could bring them together kind of like it's, I don't like the fact that they're telling an unlikely allies story after the Best of Seven. Like, I think the Best of Seven, they kick the shit out of each other. There could be this mutual respect and they could actually kind of build something from there. I'm really hoping that, like, if they do end up being kind of a kick-ass tag team, which I think they could be, that's something that I like about it, is that I think Sheamus and Cesaro could actually be a really kick-ass tag team as well. But I'm hoping that the Best of Seven series is more like, oh, I guess that is how we got to this point where we're getting something really, really cool. And it's more of a footnote than the focus. Although you can tell, like, the Best of Seven does give them some history instead of just, hey, I found two guys backstage and put them together. I'm not saying it's the best execution, but I actually am kind of, well, yeah. But I'm actually kind of more into it than I think most people are.
The thing is, I have no problem with Sheamus and Cesaro becoming a tag team. I actually kind of agree with you. I think they'd be a good tag team. My issue is that it makes no sense. Mick Foley, who tweeted out and said that wrestling fans should kiss his ass if they don't agree in the finish. This is the same man that broke a television set once because he didn't like what was on TV. Let's just bear that in mind.
And, you make a good point.
And he, you know, the man who used to write diatribes on Facebook when things didn't go his way on screen. And now he is part of a storyline where he gave two men a shot who weren't getting a shot to try and fight for something. And the winner got a championship match. And instead, they both now are in a tag team. It makes them both seem smaller than when they went into it. And I think it's just kind of lazy. So I don't really like the presentation of it. But in saying that, I think Sheamus and Cesaro as a team could be good long term. So I will get over this at some point.
See, one of the other interesting things about the story, and this is honestly the only thing on Raw that I cared about, so I don't mind spending a little bit more time on it here in the Rush Raw rundown.
I love you for giving it his full name.
Yep. So the thing that's kind of interesting is that the Best of Seven series didn't start out being for a title match, right? Like, it started out just because they were two guys who got drafted, but they got drafted fairly low. And Mick Foley was like, I want to see both of you impress me. Like, I want to see you step up. I want to see you do something. And that's why they were put into a Best of Seven series, right? And the whole thing was kind of like, do you deserve to be here? Did you deserve to get drafted? Show me what you're worth. Show me what you can do. And then you have Mick Foley on Raw now saying, I can't lose either one of you. Like, I'm putting you in a tag team because if I put you against each other, I could lose one of you for good. I don't think they're going to do a murder, but, you know, whatever. Like, apparently he thinks that they're just going to beat the shit out of each other to the point where he might lose one of them to injury or whatever. And the Raw roster's too thin and he can't afford to lose that. That's kind of compelling to me, actually, because it means that Mick Foley wanted to see something from them and both of them stepped it up so much that he sees something in both of them and wants to keep both of them around and finds them both to be valuable. So that's kind of a compelling aspect of it. I understand why everybody's so, like, I understand why people who don't like this don't like this, but I kind of like this.
I love you, Sandra, for taking a situation that we could shit on and finding a positive. Good for
See?
You.
I can be positive, too.
The New Day took on Anderson and Gallows again for the Tag Team Championships, and the New Day retained, so Anderson and Gallows, even though they won the night before, sorry, even though they looked better the night before at Clash of the Champions or Clash of Champions, the should be in there. Anyway, it was fine. Kofi Kingston looked mental at the end when he was covered in blood after he seemed to legitimately hit the ring steps.
Well, something legitimately hit his face, clearly.
Yes, he looked. Yeah, so Anderson and Gallows, I kind of wish that I wish they hadn't had this match on Raw. I liked what Anderson and Gallows did at the pay-per-view, and I felt like this kind of took some steam off of what they did. I felt like it was an unnecessary match.
It was unnecessary, and I just, oh boy, who could care right now about Anderson and Gallows? Like, I don't care, and that's a shame. Because I think they're good, or they could be good, theoretically.
That's true. We are now halfway through the Rush Raw rundown. Sheamus and Cesaro were backstage. Mick Foley was trying to convince himself that the story he was involved in was good. So put some passion into it, which was good in a promo.
This was a great promo, though.
It was a very good promo. The problem is that it's not coming from a place of sense. That's the issue. But, like I say, Foley gave it his all to put across Sheamus and Cesaro being a team. Like I say, this promo on its own is great. The problem is it is predated by 7 weeks of me in particular on this podcast really caring about something and being shat on at the end of it. So I'm not quite ready to be all praises for it. But I do get that. I do get why the people who liked this liked it, as you would say.
Well, thank you, Kenny.
Bailey turned up and she fought Anna Fields, good old Anna Fields. And she defeated Anna in 2 minutes with the Bailey to Belly. And afterwards, Bailey did a promo. She said that, you know, Charlotte and Sasha are the best, but it won't be the last time we see her. She's on a journey. She won't stop till she hugs the Women's Championship. I felt like this was quite an important moment for Bailey to have, just to have a victory and sort of say her piece. So I was quite positive on this. What did you think of it being the biggest Bailey fan on planet Earth?
I really liked it. I mean, I thought Anna Fields wasn't necessarily super great, but I like Bailey kind of getting a squash match over Enhancement Talent at this point, because they don't have enough women on Raw to give her matches with anybody else at this point. And I like the use of Enhancement Talent in this way, because Bailey is a star who deserves to be seen and featured, but she's not quite at the level of Sasha and Charlotte yet in terms of Raw, right? And so this kind of starts the proper Bailey character trajectory, because she says she lost. She wasn't the best one in that triple threat. And she realizes she has to start at the bottom and work her way up, which is exactly what she did in NXT. And it's when Bailey's most effective as a character is when she's, you know, fighting from behind and showing her work and working, you know, from the ground up, so that when she gets that big win and when she gets that big moment, not only do we feel she's earned it because of everything we know about her in the past, but her character has earned it too, in front of us on television, showing her work. And I hope that they continue with that kind of a slow build trajectory.
Yeah, I would concur. Up next is the worst segment on this show by a country mile. Mick Foley speaks to Stephanie McMahon, talks about how he believed in her, talked about how Stephanie brought the referee out just in time for Kevin Owens to beat Seth Rollins, and how Triple H was there, picked her up, all that sort of stuff. Stephanie lashes out at Mick Foley, says it was his job to protect the integrity of the main event. Said Foley let his ego get in the way. Stephanie asked him what he has to say for himself, and good
yes,
old
Mick
neutered...
Foley's ego has always been the problem here.
Yeah, totally. And Mick Foley, given the fact that it seems like he must have been neutered or castrated earlier on the day, had to say he was out of line. Stephanie threatened to make him an ambassador, scolded him, said it's his job to protect Rollins when he goes after Owens and Jericho. And she told him to be a businessman and never forget who he works for. Stephanie McMahon is the worst television character on this show. She is an appalling character. She is a heel that never gives any babyface a chance to get one over on her. When she tries to be a babyface, she's unimaginably unlikable. She should be taken off of television. If anybody wants to see how a McMahon should run a show, people should watch Shane McMahon on SmackDown. That is how it's done. He doesn't turn up all the time. He lets his general manager do the work. Stephanie McMahon is awful. She is the worst commissioner. And I include Deborah, the lieutenant commissioner. Deborah only came out to show her tits. She was more effective than Stephanie.
At least she showed
awful.
Her tits, damn it.
At least she showed some cleavage, ladies and gentlemen. I really like Stephanie as a heel when she... You know, because I always think it's going to lead to something or hope for that. But this just really left a bad taste in my mouth. How did you feel about it?
Oh, it was awful. It was awful. Stephanie McMahon was like, and whose job was it to blah, blah, match, referee,
yours?
Something? Yeah, she's like, was that my job, Mick? No, that was your job. I think what I said on Twitter during this was, nobody knows whose job is what, Stephanie. Like, nobody knows. Get me an org chart or stop this nonsense. Like, if you want to give me a detailed job description list, like making sure a referee is in the main event is apparently the general manager's job. No, none of this makes any sense because nobody knows what job belongs to whom. Like, they're just basically both in charge, but oh my goodness, this is terrible.
Yep. Now, we only have 3 minutes left, so we need to rush through everything else.
Excellent.
Here we go. Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann against Lince Dorado and Drew Gulak. I didn't really care much for it. What did you think?
It was fine enough. It was awesome to see Drew Gulak on Raw because I love him. But, I mean, it was another cruiserweight match.
Sheamus and Cesaro beat Nick Cutler and Willie Williams. Willie Williams is one of my favorite jobber names of all time.
Yep, that happened. I don't know why we're not making their first match, like, at the pay-per-view or against the New Day or whatever. Like, their first match as a team. That's kind of confusing.
TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick had a backstage segment. It was actually pretty good. I really like Brian Kendrick. Charlotte and Dana came out. Charlotte was basically going on about how she's so great. Sasha came out. They had a back and forth. Basically, next week, they're going to have a match for the championship. In the end, Sasha said she's going to take the title back. She slapped Charlotte, put the backstabber on Dana, and rolled her into the bank statement. Charlotte kind of broke it up, and Sasha was left standing. Thoughts? Very quickly.
We're going to have another championship match on Raw, I guess. And we'll see how that goes. I'm not super sure what they're doing with that.
Indeed. Seth Rollins made an appearance on the show, but it wasn't up to much. TJ Perkins against Tony Nese. TJ Perkins beat him in about 9 minutes. Uh, I, I wasn't into it that much. Were you?
Not really, because I was also watching the presidential debate.
Yeah, cards which on is the much table. Better.
Like, I mean, I had both of them going on at once, and I was...
Donald Trump is the best heel in pro wrestling that's not in pro wrestling.
Oh my gosh.
Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson are going to be on the show next week, which should be atrocious. Chris Jericho had Kevin Owens on the highlight reel. Enzo and Cass interrupted. It then took us into the main event, which was Enzo and Cass against Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens won the match in 16 minutes. They are the champions. They are my favourites. I love them. They should do a ride-along episode together because that would make me happy.
Yeah, why haven't they done a ride-along episode together? I think that's the most important takeaway from this.
So, we have about 50 seconds left, Sandra. Summarise Raw.
It was there. It happened. You could skip it entirely and not miss much, which most people did.
And last question, next week, Sasha, Charlotte, who takes it?
That's tricky.
30 seconds on the clock.
I think probably Charlotte retains via shenanigans again, but I... Yeah, because I think that maybe we could set up Hell in a Cell.
That could be it. That was Raw. I thought it was fine, but it was 3 hours that could have been two and would have been quite good at two. No Sami Zayn this week. That was not good. That was the Rush Raw rundown. We are hitting the 15-minute mark in 3, 2, 1, 15 minutes. So, thank you for listening, everyone. This has been the Rush Raw rundown. David will be back next week. Thank you for joining us. Say bye, Sandra.
Bye, Sandra.